The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. Duffing Quarters.
Here, now it's only one half today. We didn't have time to fix the introduction. Glenn Quartermain, sports editor from Sunday Times, award-winning journalist.
Thank you, Jenna.
So nice to see you again.
Yes, 2 weeks break, been painting my house.
And how'd the your little half marathon go on
good.
On Sunday?
Yes, with Skeeter Reddings joined me. So we just shuffled our way around like two old men at the back of the field.
It.
But we actually ran fairly briskly and did a pretty good job,
he
surprisingly
said.
So. And then the obligatory rehydration at the shoe bar.
I did hear.
Which went probably five times the length of the half marathon.
Yeah. But it's all for a very good cause, and I look forward to taking part in the official men's health run next year.
It will be, and it's looking like the Perth Running Festival in October, and there's some really exciting stuff going to happen around it, which I can't mention yet, but it's in the pipeline, and when I do, it'll be on your show.
Thanks so
but
much.
But it will be a very big team
good.
We're putting together.
Good, look forward to being a part of that for sure. Really sad news overnight with Elijah Taylor and the sacking from the Swans.
Well, not surprising at all. Mm. He might have greater concerns ahead of him because he's still got to face court.
Yeah,
but I think Elijah now, depending on what happens when he has his day in court, the best he can hope for, I don't think he'll be listed next year. Mm-hmm. There's a reduction in list sizes. There's this other stuff hanging over him. Mm-hmm. I think he needs 12 months of redemption. He needs to get back to whatever competition he can play in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's provided he's in the community and not incarcerated.
Yeah.
And he needs to display some form of redemption, have his 12 months. He's only 19. He's a very talented footballer. So if he can prove that he's turned the corner, I think he deserves a second chance down the track. But let's see what weighs up in court first,
Obviously, for people that aren't aware, the context is that he's facing domestic violence allegations by a former girlfriend. So I don't know when the court date is. But
no, he didn't have a great year, obviously, breaching the quarantine, et cetera, et cetera. The domestic violence at the head of it, obviously, very, very serious allegations. So he'll face that, those charges, and then we'll see what happens. But down the track, there's a possibility, but it won't be happening next year, I wouldn't have thought.
Fingers crossed for the young gun. Hopefully he gets the help he requires. Trade. What the hell is going on with the AFL trade? I thought it was done.
Trade's done. We're talking about the lead up to the national draft now.
Oh.
Well, the trading period, the official trading period, you can still trade draft picks leading up to the actual...
This is more confusing than poker.
It is. It's very confusing to the average punter.
Yeah.
And I've long been an advocate for the AFL simplifying the whole thing.
Don't be silly.
Too complex. They love it.
Yeah.
But you need to be able to split the atom to work it out sometimes.
Yeah.
But basically, look, Frio's in pretty good nick. They got picks 10 and 28. Look, they're looking at a couple of kids to put in their next generation academy.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Weston and Brandon Walker, local boys.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be hoping no other club matches them or bids for them early. So they can get them later on.
Right.
I would say at the moment, North Melbourne has announced overnight that they're not now going to trade pick two in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest, if I'm Logan McDonald, I'm thinking about learning that Kangaroos theme song. I think they would go with him. I think he's, Riley Thilthorpe will go to Adelaide.
Okay.
Western Bulldogs would go with Jamara Ugle-Hagan, he'll be a next generation, but another club will surely bid for him early, so they'll have to take him very early.
He's
been likened to Buddy Franklin. Now, I would say it's pretty safe he won't be Buddy Franklin because Buddy Franklin is a 1 in 100 year player, but if he's anything like him, then strap yourself in. They're big raps for him.
Yeah.
A beautiful player, so look forward to seeing him, and I would expect he plays footy next year with the Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
Logan McDonald to North, Denver Granger Barassa, Swan District's kid, a defender, he'll go early.
Mm-hmm.
That's next Wednesday week is the national draft. So a bit of news there. Obviously, lists are coming down, 48 plus four rookies and then another two NGA players. So lists are being reduced, so there's less opportunity for players this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll obviously re-look at that next year, whether lists go up again.
Yeah.
So a lot happening in the AFL, even though it is a quiet period. So your confusion is warranted. There is still draft pick trading, but the player trading is done.
Gee, okay, got it. I did see the news overnight that, and look, forgive me, I only read the headline, so I'm one of those Karens on Facebook. Mm. So the AFL have made a profit this year?
Yes, they have made a profit. This is a marginal profit. Clubs have done pretty well, actually. I think they were looking at a big black hole.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got into action pretty quickly. Unfortunately, the byproduct was a lot of great football people are lost to the system.
Mm-hmm.
Massive
behind the scenes people, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, assistant coaches, people, hardworking people who've been involved with the footy club for decades.
Yep.
Gone from the system. It's the very sad byproduct of it, but it had to happen in order for the clubs to. This is about the clubs surviving this year. The AFL's done a magnificent job in getting the season underway, getting the fixtures at least, you know, happening was just amazing job, really. So I think we should all sort of stand up and applaud what's happened this year.
Mm.
There was an expectation that not every club would survive.
Yeah.
Every club is now looks like it's going to survive.
Yeah.
So it's great news for all AFL fans, and, you know, they can limit – I think there's going to be – I don't think we'll see – I think the effects of COVID will still be felt four or five years from now on the balance sheet.
Mm.
But I think they've weathered the greatest part of the storm.
Yeah. I don't know, one of my favourite AFL or sporting reporters over East is Conrad Marshall from The Age. I hope that he writes a piece about just how that this insular, what happened during this year, how the AFL sort of cobbled it. I think it'd be a fascinating read. One that businesses and sporting lovers would love.
Well, I'm waiting for the book 10 yeah. years down the track on what actually happened inside the hub.
Oh, because my God, I can tell imagine.
You don't want to scratch that surface, I can tell you.
Not right now.
Yeah.
It's too soon.
I reckon the Titanic iceberg, was, this one's a lot bigger beneath the surface. So.
Oh, dear. Mm. Oh, dear. Well, so from AFL to, I guess, an NBA star, Andrew Bogut, who came home. He was an outspoken, you know, social commentator and also great on the court.
Still is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one draft NBA draft pick.
Yeah.
A championship player with Golden State Warriors in their golden years. Was hoping to play in a fourth Olympics. That would have happened this year.
Yeah.
And then the plan was play in his fourth Olympics, retire. It didn't happen. He was hoping to stretch it, but the body hasn't stood up. So he's had to make the call. Made it overnight.
Yep.
Has retired. Great servant to Australian sport. Not lost to the game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll be involved, whether it's in a coaching role or in a commentary role. I think it probably leans more towards commentary at this point.
Yep.
But, well done, Andrew Bogut, and thanks for all the memories.
How old is he?
He'd be, I'm guessing, but he's 30 plus, so 32, 33, I reckon.
Oh, God, what a career. I look forward to the Netflix series about that. It probably will be. Years to come. Now, before we let you go, the test that kicks off in Canberra.
Well, the ODI tomorrow, so it's the third and last of the ODI. So Dave Warner out.
Oh.
He won't play any more white ball cricket. It's a torn groin. It's not requiring surgery, but if you look at the footy equivalent, probably 4 to 6 weeks injury. So he doesn't play any more white ball cricket. I reckon he's going to be touch and go. I would say he won't play in the first test on December 17 in Adelaide.
Okay.
Then he will return for the second and third test. I'd say that's the more likely scenario, which opens the door for Will Pekoski to make his debut. Interesting tomorrow, who opens with Aaron Finch? Will they go with Labuschagne being promoted up the order, which might make Sean Abbott perhaps can slot into them, or will they go with Matthew Wade, who can probably carry that role? It's a dead rubber in many ways.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see there. The other news is Pat Cummins has also been withdrawn just to be rested to get him cherry ripe for the four tests.
Mm-hmm.
Very good management by Australia. But that means that our great friend AJ Tai, who hasn't played international cricket for a couple of years and has had that shoulder surgery this year, is now flying. And let's keep our fingers crossed that he gets a Guernsey tomorrow in the ODI.
Fingers crossed. Mm. We love him in here.
We do.
We're not biased at all.
Yes, we love our AJ. Great fella, great player.
Indeed. Now, our good mate Duff is on well-earned break, so we will see him hopefully next week.
He'll be back next week somewhere on his way down south to have some well-earned R&R.
Indeed.
Probably be having a swan draft or two in my honour, I'd suggest.
Good, good, good.
Good for him.
Glenn Quartermate, we'll see you in the Sunday Times and then join us on the West Live next week. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.